John chapter 3, I have an unusual title. It's called Child of God or Spawn of Satan. Somebody said, it was in the same message that my pastor was preaching over in DeLand this week, and he said, you know, if you have a provocative title, you listen to that message. And he was just going to preach about Jesus for a while, so he said, look, you know, we just need the basics. Now, tonight's just the basics, even though that title is provocative. But John 3:5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter in the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for many blessings. We just pray you have your will and your way in the service tonight. Guide, lead, and direct me as I preach. In Jesus' name, amen. When Jesus came to earth, he could judge a man's salvation, his state. We don't do that very well. I always cringe when I hear people say, well, that person's lost. Here's the problem with that. How many of you knew everything when you got saved? How many of you knew what you know now when you got saved? How many ever believed anything that was wrong? How many ever believed anything that was wrong? You know, yeah, and the point is, let's say you got somebody that's in a church that teaches baptismal regeneration. Does that mean that that person is ipso facto lost? No. That person might have gotten saved and then somebody showed them Acts 2:38 or some other verses that seem to teach baptismal regeneration. And then they get locked in on it and they become, oh, well, that's what it is. Well, wait a minute. What did you do when you got saved? That's the key. Did you trust Christ? Are you saved? Is the Spirit of God in you? You realize that a lot of cults are filled with Baptists. They are. A lot of false churches are filled with people that have trusted Christ, got saved, but they never got discipled. You and I are fortunate in that we're in a church, and you have been in a church that preaches and teaches the Bible. That isn't everywhere. So if you have Bible knowledge and understanding and you've grown, it is because you have been under the preaching and teaching of God's Word, and it's enabled you to become a more mature Christian, but not everybody is that fortunate. Most churches do not preach the Bible. Not anymore. I mean, you come in, they give one verse and say, let's run, you know, let's go over here and I'll give you a little homily type of thing. And no, I want to teach the Bible. I'm a Bible teacher. That's what I do. I don't want to tell you a bunch of stories, although, and the hardest thing when you're pastoring is you can't remember whether you told the church here the story before. And it's getting worse. You know, I get up, you know, and sometimes you repeat the story because like last Sunday, I mean, I don't know, we had 5 couples visiting. And, you know, I had some important stories had to be retold. As long as you guys know I'm never serious when I talk like that. I know I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I know that I am, without Jesus Christ, I'm worth nothing. I'm just telling you, I know that. So when I get up here and I say something like that, it is for effect. I want you to laugh, put a smile on your face, and then I don't, you know, then I want you to understand I'm never going to get up here and think that I've hung the moon or, you know, I'm God's gift to whatever, the Baptists, the Christians, the world, this Niceville, I know who I am. But turn your Bibles to John chapter 2 for a second. Let's see what it says about Jesus Christ knowing what was in man. See, we can't be 100% sure what's in man, but Jesus did. John 2:24. Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. You didn't have to go tell on the person to Jesus. Like, you know, let me tell you what's going on, Jesus. And, you know, you're going to tell on somebody. Well, the Pharisees said this about you, or Judas Iscariot, boy, he said this about you, or, you know, somebody said, he didn't have to have that. He knew what was in man. I don't always know that.
Right.
Now, I believe that I'm a good judge of character. I believe that comes from Bible knowledge, that comes from Bible application, that comes from experience, that I've learned people a little bit better. But I'm not like Jesus. Jesus knew 100% of the time. He knew what was in man. Look at John chapter 5. John chapter 5 verse 42. Again, he knew what was in man. It says, but I know you. This is Jesus speaking. I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. Boy, wouldn't that be tough to be standing in front of Jesus, who is the Son of God? Now, they didn't know that. They didn't believe that. But he was. And that God said to them, face to face, ye have not the love of God in you. Oh, boy. Now, if God was walking on this earth, Jesus Christ, right now, and you knew who He was, and He said that to you, wouldn't that break your heart? What if it was God in heaven right now and He said it to you?
Wow, there you go.
See, He can speak to your heart. He can say, look, I know you don't have the love of God in you, and you need the love of God in you. You got to get this thing right. You have got to get the love of God in you. Look at John chapter 6, verse 64. Jesus speaking again, He says, but there are some of you that believe not. How does He know? For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. He didn't make them not believe. He didn't condemn them to hell. It says He knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. Jesus said every man had to be born again. Those only born of the flesh will die twice, dying both physically and spiritually. Jesus explained what He meant concerning being born again in John chapter 8. Look over there. In John chapter 8, we'll get there in a second. He was contrasting being born of God and being born of the devil. Look at what He says in John chapter 8, verse 38. I speak that which I have seen with my Father. Remember, He says, my Father and your Father. He never said our Father. Now, again, you got to be careful. Well, what about that prayer where He says our Father? He said, when you pray, pray our Father. He never included Him in that group. Why is that important? Because He always made a distinction. And when He claimed that Jesus Christ was His Father, they wanted to kill Him because He made Himself equal with God because He made Himself the Son of God.
Right.
Which He didn't make Himself that. He was that.
Amen.
So, He said this. Verse 38. I speak that which I have seen of my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen of your... with what? Your Father. Wait a minute. What do you mean by that? I mean, listen, Jesus didn't go out there and say, hey, I'm going to make friends with everybody. I'm going to tell you what you want to hear. You know, sometimes I may not tell you what you want to hear. If you come to me and you start talking about somebody else in a negative fashion to where I think it's unfair and untrue or whatever, I may say, hey, let's get them right now on the phone. And if you want to shut that down, I'd look at you and say, well, then you're not right. If you don't want them to be here, you shouldn't be talking about them.
Yes,
look at what He says. I have seen of your Father. Verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. He said, you're not acting like children of Abraham. Listen, if you're truly a child of God, your Father is up in heaven, then you ought to do what your Father wants you to do. That's the way it is. I heard somebody say the other day about some person maybe thinking about getting in trouble and saying, you know, what are you afraid of? You afraid your Father's going to hurt you? You know what a good answer is? No, I thought I'd hurt my Father.
Wow.
That's profound.
Yeah.
There's a little statement like that. I think about that and I go, wow, that'd be good to tell the church. So I did. Look at John 8, verse 41. Ye do the deeds of what? Oh, by the way, you see that small F there in verse 42, it's a capital F.
Yes.
So ye do the deeds of your father, then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. By the way, you know why they were saying that? We be not born of fornication. Because the rumor was that's what he was born of. Remember Mary?
Right.
Joseph? You don't think word got around? Sure it got around. And you know what the story was? You know, just think about it. You think about all the people today. Well, Mary, you know what you need to do is have an abortion.
Right.
You're not married. You can't have that baby. You need to have an abortion. That is what the world would tell us today. Kill that baby. Why? Well, that baby, you know, you're going to have a hard life. Yeah, she was. She did. Because she birthed the Son of God, and then that Son went to the cross, and she was there seeing Him hang on a cross. She didn't understand everything that was going on with Him. But she had a broken heart toward Him, no doubt about it. But look at what the Bible says in verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, capital F, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but He sent me. He says, listen, if God were your Father, you'd love me. Why? Because He did everything right.
Yes.
Because He never sinned. He never hurt anybody. Everything He did was perfect. All He did was raise the dead, made the lame walk, caused the blind to see, the deaf to hear. And they want to kill Him because they're going to lose their place, their position, their country. That's all they're worried about is position. So they're going to kill an innocent man because of that. He said, if God were your Father, ye would love me. By the way, I believe that applies to all of us too. Listen, if you got other Christians that you have animosity toward, you hate, I don't think God wants that.
Right.
You know, Robert's talking about forgiveness, asking somebody, you know, telling somebody you're sorry. I have no problem with that. I had a situation, you know, when Gary was out on visitation, he went to that Catholic and she wrote, she was all upset. I apologized to her. Why did I apologize? Because we were wrong? I said this, I am sorry you were offended. Yeah! Why wouldn't I say that? Of course I'm sorry you were offended. I wish you knew the truth and had no reason to be offended. I wish you were saved and had no reason to be offended. But because you are offended, I'm sorry for that. Am I sorry that they said what they said and they talked to you about the Lord? No! I'm sorry you're offended. Nothing wrong with that. If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither I came of myself, but He sent me. Verse 43. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? You know, sometimes you may not hear from God because you're not right with God. You ever pray and say, well, the heavens look like they're closed and God doesn't hear me and God doesn't want to. No, God loves you. God wants to hear from you. God wants to answer your prayer. God wants to give you peace. God wants to show His love toward you. But it's relationship. If your relationship's not right, man, it messes everything up.
Yes, sir.
Why don't you understand my speech? Verse 44 again. Hear of your father, the devil. Oh my goodness, you talk about an unpopular message of preaching. You come in and you visit with me and you start, you know, saying something and I look at you and go, you're your father, the devil. I am never going to say that to anybody. I'm not. Here's why. I don't know what's inside them. I got saved 39 and a half years ago. For 3 years I didn't live for the Lord. And I watched my life go down, down, down. I didn't go to church. I didn't pray. I remember early on I talked to people about the Lord. You know what happened to me when I talked to people about the Lord early on? I was losing all that knowledge I had. Man, I remember one time I had somebody, it was up at Penn State, and they were preachers that would stand outside and preach when the classes were changing. And some people would howl at him and all that. And anyway, I was standing there one time, and this is early on, and this charismatic was there, and he was telling them about, you know, you need to get the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I said, oh, no, no, no. And I could not remember all that stuff I learned because I was losing it. You lose it, or you use it, or you lose it. That's knowledge. Listen, I don't want a church just takes it all in. I want you to give it out. I don't want to just take it in. I want to give it out. I try to talk to everybody I can talk to. And sometimes I'm not always giving the gospel every time I talk to somebody. I am building some relationships. But I'll tell you a new thing I've done a couple of times now. I did it before, but starting it back up. You know, I was out with the Sassers, the missionaries, and the waitress came up and I said, hey, we're getting ready to pray. Is there anything we can pray for you about? And she says, yes, blah, 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 the will of God, peace. And I was like, and she was saved. And I said, all right, let's pray. And I said, and she stayed there and bowed her head and we prayed. Now, look, if they're real busy, and like I think yesterday or the day before when I was out with another preacher, I did the same thing. I said, look, if you're busy, you can go, but we're going to pray for you. That God will give you peace that you're searching for. And we prayed like that with her. And that is pretty neat because then you get them engaged in that thing. Now you can't do it with everybody. Listen, if the waitress is busy, or waiter, don't take 10 minutes of their time.
Right, right.
You know, you can't do that. You got to have a little wisdom. You got to pray about it. And God's got to show you which direction to go. I'm not going to do it every time, but I'll tell you, it really is impacting to that waiter, that waitress. Especially if you can find them in a slow time. Go out to eat at 11 o'clock. They won't be quite as busy. He says, you're of your father the devil. And look what he says, verse 44, it gets even worse. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Boy, you tell me, do you think that was a good message? Yeah, Jesus preached it. Now, if I preached that, and it was a Sunday afternoon, about 12 o'clock, and I said, you're all dismissed, and I had just preached that, you know what you'd be roasting at lunch, don't you? In a common church, I'm not saying you would do it here. I'm just telling you, he thinks he's perfect. You know, that's usually what goes on quite a bit. He thinks he's perfect. He ain't got no sin. I'll tell you what, he's just as sinful as I am. You know, you never know what, you know, people go to lunch and then they wonder, why do their kids, you know, hate church? Why don't they want to go back to church? Well, because when you roast the preacher at noon, they look at you and go, well, I don't, you don't have any respect for him, neither do I. Why am I going to go to church? When I turn 18, choo! And that happens in a lot of Baptist churches. I'm not telling you it's your problem unless the shoe fits. That's the way you need to look at it. If the shoe fits, listen, I've roasted preachers. I'm just telling you, I've done it. That's how come I know intimately what it's like. Not because y'all, because I've done it. I get mad, a little ticked off. I didn't like something he said. And listen, I didn't always look around and figure out where the kids were. You got to be careful with that. Just got to be careful with that. This passage that we're looking at about the father, it refers to every lost person having the devil as his father. But it also could mean more than that. There might be what's called a spiritual birth substitute given by the devil to those who hear and follow him. Now think about it. He said, your father, the devil. The devil may give Christ, and might give Christ-rejecting unbelievers a religious experience in order to counterfeit the genuine experience offered by Christ. Let's look at some verses. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Does the devil counterfeit God? Yes. By the way, you are not to be imitators of Christ. That's not what the Bible says. You're to be followers of Him, but not imitators. And imitation is not something we want to be. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse 3. He says, "But I fear, lest by any means the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." You know what we're supposed to be understanding? The simplicity that is in Christ. Don't ever make salvation difficult. Salvation is so simple that I've seen four-year-olds accept it. It's that simple. Verse 4. "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit..." You see that? "You receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which we have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Receive another spirit, it says there. And we'll develop it a little bit later, but I just want you to... I just want to plant the seed a little bit first. Then I want to show you that salvation, those who trust Christ receive the Spirit of God. Ephesians 1:13. We'll start in verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. By the way, that word trusted is gone in the modern versions. You're told one time in whom ye trusted. It's right there. Trust is a big deal in salvation.
Yes, sir.
"In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with" what? That Holy Spirit of promise. You trust, you believe, you're sealed. That's salvation in simplistic terminology. I don't know what it was going to be that was going to come out, but it was not sounding like it was going to be a real word. In simple form, you trust, you believe, you're sealed. Now, let me just tell you, because I've looked at the modern versions at times, and my Heather, since you guys met her, I'll say her by name, our daughter. Heather, because I would go, "in whom he also trusted," and I would quote the modern version. "You also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth." And so she would quote the other one to me, the NIV. I just tell her, just shut up. Shut up. You're not supposed to memorize that stuff. But how do you not memorize it when you travel with your father and he does these King James conferences? Listen to what it says. "You also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth." How many of you hear the word of truth? I mean, we're hearing the word of truth right now, right? You're included in Christ according to the NIV. Wow. Doesn't say you trusted Him. You heard it. It says you heard the word of truth and you're included in Christ. See, there's no salvation. They corrupt that verse and make salvation simply hearing the truth, not acting upon it. Anyway, look at... Well, let me just quote this to you. So when you get saved, the Spirit of God comes in. He says, what happens if you don't receive... Somebody else comes and they preach a false gospel and you receive another spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption." If you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have the Spirit of God, you're none of His, according to Romans. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 21. "Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ hath appointed us is God, who hath also done" what? "Sealed us and given us" something. "The earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." You know what God does when you get saved? He gives you the earnest of the Spirit. You know what earnest money is? It's like a down payment. You pay earnest money, and then that holds whatever it might be, and then you pay the rest. I'll give you an example. On the land, you pay $5,000 or $500, whatever it is, and then you pay the rest. The earnest money is the down payment that's saying, "Hey, I promise to pay the rest." What God give us is earnest? The Spirit. He gave us the earnest and said, "There's a whole lot more coming. This is just the beginning of it. By the way, He's given us the earn as the earnest, the Spirit in our hearts, and He sealed us. He calls it the first fruits of the Spirit. Look at Romans 8, because you need to get this too. So He sealed us, gave us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Romans 8, verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. The whole creation groans and travail. Verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, even the saved people do, which have the what? First fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. You know what you're waiting for? You're waiting for the adoption of your body. You're waiting for the redemption of your body. Your three parts, soul, body, and spirit. Your soul and your spirit are redeemed at the moment you get saved. Your body is not redeemed. Your body is not changed. You have a wicked, vile body. That's our problem. We have a new man living in us. That's the Spirit of God that's in us. And the old man still is our flesh, still wants to control us, still wants to tell us what to do and do the wrong thing. That's the problem. And if you don't have that conflict, you don't have salvation. Your spirit, your body says do wrong. Your spirit says do right. We have that earnest of the Spirit. He promises much more. It's just the down payment. We got so much more coming. But you got the power within you to live for God. You have that power. God gives you that power to live for Him and says, I will just submit to my will and I will do anything that you need to have done. I will guide you, lead you, direct you, but you must submit. He's given us the earnest of the Spirit that's called the first fruits of the Spirit. We have no idea the extent of what it's going to be like when we get the rest. I don't like my body. I mean, it looks pretty good. I don't like the sinfulness of it. I don't like to think some of the thoughts I think. I just don't like that. But until I have that change, the twinkling of an eye, it's not going to change. Some of you think, well, man, I'm getting pretty good. I don't think God's going to have to change me much. Oh, my goodness. I know there's nobody in here that would think that. And I'm exaggerating. But some of you know, you start learning your Bible and you start thinking, man, I'm growing. Yeah, grow. But don't ever, 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 ever let your guard down. You are still a sinner. You're still going to want to do bad things. And you still need God to direct you.
Yes, sir.
Look at Romans 8. Look at verse 9. Look a few verses earlier. But ye are not in the flesh. Not in the flesh. Now, we walk in the flesh. There's two in the fleshes. I won't get into all that. But in the Spirit. You are in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. So you are in the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. So anybody saying, oh, you got to pray and get the Holy Ghost. You got to pray and get the Spirit. No, you don't. You have that Spirit, the Spirit of God, the moment you get saved. It's till the day of redemption. When's the day of redemption? That's when your body is redeemed. Changed. Twinkling of an eye, the last trump, the trump will sound, dead in Christ shall be risen first, and we which are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, so shall we be with the Lord, wherefore come one of these words. We have comfort that the world has no understanding of. Why? Because we're going to be changed. Because this isn't the end all of life. I had lost people ask me, they said, well, you're a CPA, why would you ever give that up? I retired in 1995. Now I've worked it and I've run a company or two afterward just because friends asked me to or whatever. But, okay, my brother's a CPA and made millions. You know, I mean, he was a headhunter and he wanted me to do it with him in Pennsylvania. The Lord never opened the door. Thank God he didn't. But I could have gone up there, gone to business with him, and then started a new business, and then gone public with a business. He sold it for $3.4 million, and boom, boom, boom. And he did it twice. They say, well, why would you ever give up all that to write books and travel like a lunatic and, pastor a church, let's say. And nobody's asked me that now. This was years ago. Because there's nothing like giving things up for the Lord. And you're not really ever giving anything up. There's nothing we give up. I mean, this world has nothing to offer us. And what we've got to do is figure out how to get through this life and touch as many people as we can with the gospel and with salvation, with Jesus Christ. We've got to touch everybody. Here's what I tell people that get so upset. I have one that calls me and she gets really upset that the young people are just, we're losing the young people. And I understand, and I try to console her and tell her, look, I understand. We are losing the young people, but my focus is this, and this will be my focus to you. You know what you need to do? You need to try to impact your sphere of influence.
Yes, sir.
Let's say you touch 5 people tomorrow in life. Influence those 5. What about the whole world? Man, you want to get discouraged?
Right.
Calculate how many saved people in the world. Calculate how many want to kill you. That's pretty rough too. Calculate how many saved people are. Calculate. I remember I'd go into a place and like in Alabama, because we were there 28 years, and I was real active. I knew the chief police, the mayor, this, that. And the mayor would call me. We would talk about things. And he had an election. He wanted to know, was there anything we need to do for Victor Baptist Church? I'd say, no, mayor, you don't. There isn't anything we need to do this time. But one time he did do something. There was a bar coming in across the street from our school. And we didn't want it. And he fought me on that. And they brought the bar in. And we shut her down. We shut it down. We kept the pressure on, the pressure on, the pressure on. The problem is we shut down some restaurants too. And then we were the bad guys. We were the bad guys. But then he needed my support to help him. He wanted to square up all the lines in Millbrook and annex everybody in against their will. Well, he was trying to annex in a company. It was a friend of mine. Or actually, the friend of mine was his controller, and they called me up. I said, look, you need my help. I said, I'll help you in any way I can. And we beat him because of that, because he lied. He lied about it. He didn't tell him what he was doing. He was just annexing people in. They didn't even tell him where to vote. It was just wickedness. But I'm telling you, it's just your sphere of influence. Oh, I know what I was going to make the point. So I'd walk into a restaurant, and I'd be in my hometown. I'd look around and go, I don't know one person in here. Do you realize how many people you don't know?
Right.
Do you know how many people you can affect? Whether you know them or not. You can leave a track. Talk to them. Put a smile on your face. Treat them right. Let them know you're a Christian. And if they're ever looking for the truth, co-workers, let's say, You are the one that they may come to. You may be the one that has that door. And I'm telling you, you want to stay encouraged, you be concerned about your sphere of influence. Now, let me just tell you that how that works. You see the missionaries on the back wall? Our sphere of influence is much larger.
Yes.
So long as we support them. So long as we, pray for them. Then your sphere, then you listen. It isn't just, well, it's everybody I touch. No, let me tell you something else. I'm the pastor of the church. I touch a lot more people in different ways than you might. You're the reason that I'm here. Yes, it's God, blah, blah, blah. I got all that. I'm down here because this church called me and because God wanted me to. And I get all that. But the point is, your sphere of influence is also by who I touch.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And guess what? my sphere of influence, if I influence you, is multiplied that way too. So if you want to get encouraged, just encourage that, hey, pray for one another. Hey, try to give the gospel out. Try to talk to others and say, hey, I've got something you need. You got Jesus Christ. We have the answer. We're the only ones that have the answer. Let's do something with it. And I'm only about halfway through. Let me give you one other verse. It's 1 John 4:4. I'll read it to you. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he is in the world. Listen, I don't know if the lost get another spirit. It just seems like they do. Your father, the devil, I mean, spawn of Satan type of thing. But everybody has the opportunity to have their father that's God. Always remember, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You want to stay encouraged? Hone in on that. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And if you get out there in the world, your power that's within you. You know, it says, according to the power that worketh in us. There's a verse in the Bible like that. You can limit God and His power that works in you. And if you limit it, you're going to wonder, well, why am I having so much problem? Maybe you're limiting God in your life. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Listen, I don't know if there's some type of spiritual birth with the devil. I do know that people sell their soul to the devil. I have crossed paths with them. I believe that's a lot of what goes on in Hollywood, rock and roll music. Rock and roll music, hey, devil gets in there and says, I'll make you a star. All you got to do is serve me. And then when he gets done with them, that's why they pull out a shotgun and blow their head off. That's why there's so many suicides and drugs, and there's no peace there. But Jesus Christ is the answer no matter what it is. I cannot tell you for sure that somebody, you know, when he says the father, the devil, I don't know how far the extent that goes. Let's all stand together. Let's pray. Lord, you thank you for many blessings. Just pray, Lord, you'd have your will and your way during the invitation time. Guide, lead, and direct, and help us to live according to thy will. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Why don't you just pray for a little small time? Just close your eyes, ask God to help you. Live for him, do his will. Make sure you've trusted in him. Make sure he lives within you. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. Greater is he that is in you than in he that is in the world. Ask him for the power that worketh in you. Have your attention up here. I just noticed that we changed the prayer bulletin again. I'm killing Melody, but she's doing a great job. We have the leadership on the back. I noticed the mayor pro temp is Daniel Henkel, so he will probably be taking over for the mayor, and be praying for the city. It's tough. I mean, he's some people don't know any other mayor but him. So. And pray for me. I'm trying to get some stuff done with the city. And you know, it's like you got to walk on eggshells. I sent an email out yesterday. I hadn't heard back from the city on the rezoning. Trying to find out what to do. And I was like, oh no. I did say at the beginning, sorry to hear about the mayor. But anyway, I don't know. Maybe they're not going to work until next week. But who knows. But you are going to be dismissed. I'm going to ask Bill to close us in prayer, please.